Morning, Dave.
Are we alive and well? All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kulk. It's approximately 9 o'clock today, Wednesday, May 8th, 2013, the 12th floor of the Capitol. We're meeting 1 hour earlier than normally scheduled. We have a funeral for former Senator Kringstad is at 11 o'clock today. So for those listening out there, that's why we're an hour earlier. Only comments I would have this morning is I just got back yesterday from the National Wind Conference, and it was a very interesting discussion. I was asked to come out and share my thoughts about North Dakota wind and all the good things going on out there, or out here. And the wind crowd breaks into two groups. There's a group that really wants to develop wind, and they've got the right ideas, I think. They understand the production tax credit won't always be there, trying to get a model that's going to work. And then there's another group inside the wind energy group that wants to shut down all the coal and all the natural gas, and they just want wind. So it's an interesting faction out there developing. And so I think it was important to be out there and see what's going on. But my message to them was very simple, that we need wind, we need coal, we need natural gas, we need oil. But as we keep developing our resources in North Dakota, I think that we really got to stay in the middle of these discussions, because energy groups fighting amongst themselves I don't think helps our consumers at the end of the day. So, with that, I don't have any other opening comments. Mandy, Commissioner Chrisman?
A couple things. One is a question. I know in the administrative agenda later, we're going to look at some meeting dates for July going onward.
Right.
And in our announcements portion of our agenda, we have the things that are coming up this month and in June yet. When we address those meeting dates from July onward, is that the time to address a couple things in our announced meetings, or
no? That would be appropriate.
Okay.
What we'll do, what I like to do, is lay out the next 6-7 month meetings. So that's what the ones for July, August, September, all the way through December. But we could certainly adjust the June dates, because those dates were picked a long time ago. So
I'll bring that up at that point then. I guess the other two things that I would say to, as we start the meeting, is with the legislature wrapped up, now our budget situation is not a prospect but a reality. And I think that the legislature treated us quite well. If there's a lemon in the area, it's the loss of the FTE position for weights and measures, I think. And I just think it's incumbent upon us to make lemonade out of the lemon and do our best to make this a three-person operation and move forward and make sure that people that are consuming products that are weighed or measured are protected. And so I'm confident that we'll get that done and get a new plan set forth to move forward with three people. The other thing I wanted to say, and you touched on it, former Senator Kringstad that passed away, I just want to take this platform to say a couple words about him. You know, I came into the Senate with him in 1994, and so you kind of bond as candidates in the first place, and worked with him in that arena for 12 years. He represented a Bismarck district here, and sadly, you know, it seems like when he was recognized for things regarding his district, a lot of times it had to do with state employees and salaries or benefits or something like that. But what was never noticed or recognized were the things that he did for his constituents, including some of the safety features in this very building that had gone on a long time in disrepair. And the most adamant I seen Senator Kringstad in 12 years, back in the days when we were short of money, was making sure that we had proper safety features in this building. And it never got public attention or anything like that. But he was truly a man of conviction that looked out for his people.
Great. All right. Commissioner Vorchak?
Picking up where Randy was talking about Senator Kringstad, I too want to offer my condolences to the Kringstad family, to Faye. What a great couple those two were, always really a model of love and tenderness to each other. I kind of admired them and their commitment to each other. She always attended meetings with him and dinners, and she was at his side a lot, and he was a very reasonable, effective legislator and a great husband and family man. So I want to send my condolences to them. They had a lot of fun together and taught dance lessons for years and years at BSC. And they contributed to one of my most memorable memories from our wedding day, because they taught my husband and I dance lessons for maybe 2 months or 3 months before our wedding. And then we got this harebrained idea that we needed to dust off our skills a little bit right before the wedding. So literally, I think it was the weekend before, they met us on a Saturday special, just the two of us at a location at BSC, and helped choreograph a dance for our wedding, which wasn't the thing to do. Apparently, this is the thing to do nowadays. I see these on YouTube, but it wasn't really the thing to do. So we had a little special dance at our wedding, courtesy of Ed and Faye Kringsted. So great memory.
That's nice to know that you and Mike could do those skills if needed again.
Ooh, it's been a lot of years. I'd have to get some
the Christmas party next year, make a note.
Brush up lessons again. My husband could, but not me. And then I would also say, on the weights and measures side of things, with our budget, Randy talked about taking a relative lemon and turning it into lemonade. And I'd say, Randy, we're going to make pink lemonade out of that. I think we can do a nice job with that program and really add the quality assurance that was lacking before. So I'm looking forward to really tackling that issue and coming up with a good, reasonable quality assurance program and a model for quality assurance on the small scales too. So,
well, and to piggyback even farther on that, we've already heard from Steve Strege and the grain growers and a lot of different groups that they're well aware now of what came out of the final budget mix, and so they're looking for some guidance from us. So I think that'll probably move up in our priorities pretty quick to figure out what we're going to do there. So, okay, with that, we have some items on consent. I would move passage.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. I actually have no items on the regular agenda, so we'll move to Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission approve revision number 4 to surface coal mining permit number GRGR-0501. Held by Leonardite Products, LLC, to delete 34.57 acres of land that have not been disturbed by mining activities from the permit.
Second.
On December 17th of last year, Leonardite Products filed the application to delete the 34.57 acres of land from the permit that have not been affected by surface coal mining and reclamation operations. This land is being deleted from the permit to facilitate the construction and operation of a solid waste transfer and recycling station by an independent third party. The Reclamation Division staff have inspected the acreage proposed for deletion to verify that the parcel has not been disturbed. Survey pins marking the deletion boundary corners were observed.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Moving on to the next one then, Mr. Chairman, I move the commission adopt the order in case number GE-13-99, Public Service Commission, Earth Harvest Mills Incorporated, doing business as Dakota Prairie Organic Flour, ex parte cease and desist.
Second.
On February 27th of this year, the commission issued an ex parte cease and desist order against Earth Harvest Mills, doing business as Dakota Prairie Organic Flour Company. Hereafter, I'll refer to them as Earth Harvest Mills, though. Ordering the entity to cease and desist from receiving or purchasing grain in the state. Then a month later, on March 27th, Earth Harvest Mills filed a letter request for a formal hearing on the cease and desist order. Also on that day, this commission issued a notice of hearing, scheduled the hearing for April 10th of 2013. And also on that March 27th day, at a special meeting, we passed a motion informing Earth Harvest Mills that the commission would schedule that formal meeting for the purpose of acting on a motion to lift the cease and desist order contingent upon three conditions. Number one, that Earth Harvest Mill has fully paid all grain payable accounts due and past due. Number two, that they agree that their total cash obligations at any given time for delivered grain will not exceed 200% of the amount of bond in place. And number three, that they agree to pay for or convert to credit sale contract, if requested by the seller, each and every grain purchase within 45 days. Obviously, condition number one was a precedent to lifting the cease and desist order. Grayson Holberg, the CEO of Earth Harvest Mills, appeared at the April 10th hearing and testified regarding the operations of Earth Harvest Mills. And Mr. Holberg did not provide evidence to support a finding that condition number one, stated in our March 27th motion, had been met, nor did he provide sufficient evidence of any other reason to lift the cease and desist order. So having allowed all interested persons an opportunity to be heard, and having heard, reviewed, and considered all testimony and evidence presented, the Commission concludes that this is not sufficient evidence, that there is not sufficient evidence to lift the February 27th cease and desist order.
Well, and just to put a finer point on it, I think that just last meeting we issued the insolvency on it potentially. So it's just this whole setup is regrettable how it's not played out the last 4 years or so. But I will say that I think that I know the commission staff and the commissioners have done a pretty good job on setting precedents on how we're going to deal with these things going forward, because this was, I think, the first time that, well, I know my first time dealing with something where you really just try to do what you can to keep the elevator going while you're also protecting the people that are selling the product. And like Randy laid out, all these conditions were put into place, and he didn't meet them, but we certainly laid a pathway forward for him to solve his problems. And we held the hearing to get things in the record, and it's regrettable it turned out this way, but it just, I think it did lay out a very good model of what we'll hopefully not need in the future.
Right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my third and I believe final motion is that I move the commission under North Dakota Century Code 60-02-09.1 adopt the order suspending warehouse license number 1136 of Northwood Bean Company Incorporated at their Northwood, North Dakota warehouse effective April 24th of 2013 for lack of adequate bond, and issue a notice of opportunity to be heard in case number GE-13-192.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, this one, based on the last one, is not as bad as it might sound from the motion. Northwood Bean Company operates a licensed public grain warehouse at Northwood, North Dakota. On February 22nd of this year, the commission received notice that the bond issued to Northwood Bean Company will be canceled effective May 24th. And according to our century code, the commission shall immediately suspend an elevator's license if the licensee fails to file a replacement bond at least 30 days before cancellation of the current bond. That is Century Code Section 60-02-09.1. So we're within that 30 days, and the Century Code calls for us to do this. Now, the reason I say, it's probably not as alarming as it might sound that their bond is being canceled. Our staff has been visiting with Northwood Bean Company regarding this cancellation. They understand that the owner says there's some confusion regarding information that was submitted to the bond company, which resulted in the cancellation notice. And Northwood Bean Company Incorporated has been working on this matter and anticipates having a replacement bond issued probably within a few days.
Sounds good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I just thought of this, too. As soon as we get that information, we need to hold a special meeting, we certainly could do that.
Okay. I'm not sure what the process will be. I suppose it depends on
the timing,
how close we are to the next meeting, but I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Okay. I move the Commission approve the compliance filing by Northern States Power Company of a 2012 revenue true-up and the resulting one-time refund of $201,000 to North Dakota Electric customers to be implemented within 60 days, case number PU-10-657, 2011 electric rate increase application, case number PU-11-55, 2012 electric rate increase application, and case number PU-11-557, customer credit-DOE settlement application.
Second.
Well, that's a mouthful of an order. It's really not that complicated of an issue, though. So in the last rate cases of NSP, the settlement in 2011-2012 rate case required that the revenues be trued up in 2012 and any differences between collection and revenues and expenses be returned to the rate payers, and they turns out they overcollected $201,000. So the settlement agreement requires them to make a one-time bill refund, and that will be a credit on the bills of active customers who made payments in 2012. So there's, you know, a number of estimated refunds of residential residential customers estimated to get $1, a small commercial $7, large commercial $1,100. So various refunds will be going out to customers, which is always nice when that happens.
Well, absolutely, and I could just expound upon it. When we went through this past rate case, there was a lot of things that really became contentious toward the end. One was the customer credit for service reliability. Another was actually the return on equity. But this is where I think it's very important that all of our rate cases going forward have this kind of collar on it, to where if a company over-earns, that there's a true-up that takes place and that money goes back to the customers, because we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we say they can earn up to a certain amount, but they're way over-earning that, and there's no way to correct that once the case is over with. So it'll be interesting as we're in this current rate case how some of the things that were agreed upon in the past rate case, how those will apply with the current one. And this is one of them that I think will play out. But I think it's good. I mean, it's over $1,100 that goes back to large commercial customers. So that's a lot of money.
Yes. I found it interesting that it was just for 2012. So I'll be curious to see how this all plays out in the next rate case as well.
I think they have to go back till you get the data from the previous year, and it takes a while to sort it all through, but yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion is approved.
My second motion, I move the Commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filings and notice of hearing in the applications of Hess Corporation for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, corridor certificate, and a route permit for an existing 10.2-mile, 14-inch crude oil pipeline in Williams County, case number PU-12-683.
Second.
On November 2012, Hess filed applications for this corridor and route permit to construct the 10.2 mile, 14-inch diameter crude oil in Williams County. This motion will call for the scheduling of a public hearing, which we anticipate to be in July at a date that we will determine in our admin meeting, I believe, in Tioga, Williams County Courthouse, for the consideration of this application. What this basically is, it's an existing pipeline. It was a gathering system owned by Hess. This application proposes converting the existing gathering pipeline segments, three different segments, and to put them into service as a transmission facility. These pipes would be modified to accommodate the increase in pressure to be applied at the Hess Ramberg truck facility, and then the crude will ship north to 10.1 miles to the Hess Tioga Rail Terminal, located 1 mile west of Tioga. The pipeline will go from the Ramberg truck facility to the Tioga Rail Terminal in Williams County. The tie-in to the pipeline will allow Hess to transport up to 24,000 additional barrels per day of crude. This is up from the 54,000 barrels per day of crude already that pipeline has the capacity to carry for a total of 78,000 barrels per day. And they hope to get going on this as soon as the permits and stuff are in place, and they expect that this will cost approximately $1 million. So more infrastructure to get our crude to market and allow fewer trucks on the road.
Absolutely. We have a motion and a sec. Is there further discussion?
Sorry, got ahead. I didn't notice this yesterday when I read through it or asked the question, but I don't think the Williams County Courthouse is in Tioga.
Well, you know, as I was reading that, I was wondering that too. Williams County Courthouse is in Williston.
Is in Williston.
Is this the, okay, we'll have to fix that.
So right. We certainly won't sign it until we got a date in the right courthouse in the right county. Good catch.
Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
It does bring an interesting question, though, is does the order become effective when we vote on it or when we sign it? Right, Ryan? Anyway, another question.
So we have to adjust that. We had left a date for that.
We'll have to make it anyway, so it'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Is that right? Okay, the next motion, I move the commission adopt the order reissuing certificate and permit in the joint application of Enbridge Pipelines and Enbridge Pipelines Bakken LP to transfer certificate of corridor compatibility number 68 and route permit number 83 from Enbridge Pipelines to Enbridge Pipelines Bakken, Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota to Enbridge Pipelines Bakken LP, case number PU-12-823.
Second.
Okay, just go through a little history here. In October of 1995, the commission issued the certificate of corridor compatibility number 68 and route permit number 83 to Portal Pipeline Company to construct this 8 miles of pipe beginning near Lignite and traversing to Portal, North Dakota. In 1998, the commission approved transferring that certificate and permit to Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota, Inc. In May of 2001, the commission approved transferring the certificate and permit to Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota, LLC. And in January of this year, 2013, Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota, LLC and Enbridge Pipelines, Bakken, LP submitted a joint application to transfer the certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit to Enbridge Bakken. We had issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing that provided until March 14th to receive written comments or requests for a hearing. We received none. We did have an informal hearing on this. And on April 29th, the Vice President Assistant Secretary of Enbridge Bakken provided certification to our office that Enbridge Bakken agrees to assume the rights and obligations of this new corridor compatibility certificate and route permit.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
My final motion, the applicant having filed, this is interesting. This is a result of legislation passed by the 63rd Legislature. So I'll read the motion. The applicant having filed a letter of intent prior to April 2nd, 2013, the effective date of the repeal of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-22-07.1, the statute with the letter of intent requirement, I move the commission acknowledge that a letter of intent is no longer required concerning Highland Crude LLC's existing 8-inch crude oil pipelines, McKinsey, Williams, and Montreal Counties of North Dakota, case number PU-13-136.
Second.
This is a result, this motion is a result of the passage of House Bill 1147, which streamlined some of our and clarified some of our siting requests for reroutes in the pipeline construction. It also eliminated the need for letters of intent. It was an old requirement that the PSC had used for many, many years. Initially was, I think, the purpose of it was to give us a heads up when there was going to be big projects and give us like a year's notice to staff up and beef up staff and prepare for, you know, new generation facilities being constructed and that type of thing. It had been routine to basically shorten the time period to 30 days. And so the staff didn't really feel that we needed the letters of intent as a heads up on projects anymore, that we could just move forward with receiving the applications and start the clock and the process rolling at that point. So this really is a streamlined process. It will get the ball rolling quicker for companies. They don't have to remember to file and ask for this shortened time period. And so we will see of this and learn more about this project. We'll talk more about it when we receive their completed application. Staff will receive the application, and then we will hear in a meeting that the application has been deemed complete, and that will trigger the starting of the process. So this is an area where we are actually decreasing regulations.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just to add a little bit, I think that the changes in the way the commission and the companies work with the filing fees kind of set the stage for this, because I think previous days the commission would get all these applications and have to go out and build up staff, and it would take a while to do that. But now when the companies file their application, they also have a filing fee, then we'll go out and get the quote-unquote experts that might not be on staff, so it really paved the stage for that. But if there would ever be a repealing of the filing fee, a reduction of the filing fee, we might have to go back to this. But right now, I think, as Commissioner Fedorchak laid out, it does cut down on, I would say, unneeded paperwork, because in the 5 years I've been here, we've never not shortened the application waiting period because we want the projects to get in front of us as soon as we can and get to work on them. So I think this is a step in the right direction.
Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchak, do we have anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay. Mr. Christman?
Not on the regular agenda.
Okay, I don't have any words of wisdom as we close it. I'd open it up for any questions that might be there.
I'm just curious. You're aware that Earth Harvest Mills did receive a federal grant, I assume.
We're aware of a lot of money that's come to Earth Harvest Mills from a lot of different sources. But what we're really tracking closely, I guess, from my viewpoint, is who they owe money and how the process is going to weigh out.
Is this going to play into your discussions at all, or play into the court case? What do you know?
Boy, I don't think I don't know any more than we did the last we met a couple weeks ago. Will it play into the court case? I think it's up to him to show he's paid off the people he owes money. How he does that, I think, doesn't matter to me so much. But if he can produce that he's paid off people that are owed money, I think that will definitely consider into what the court does and what we're going to do. But that's, I guess, where I would think.
And I think a lot of it, as far as that, I believe that was mostly loan money, not grant. And, you know, we will administer the parts that we administer, that being the bond and whatever grain is on hand, and the indemnity fund. And beyond that, you know, whatever assets are there, and, you know, hopefully he pulls himself out of this and things don't get distributed, and he just makes the payments as everyone hopes for from the beginning. But if it would go further than that, you know, that how assets are distributed up and lenders are repaid is not within the commission's jurisdiction.
I would echo to Randy's comments that you asked whether this factored into our decision in any way, and our focus is clearly, our jurisdiction is clearly on the farmers and the conversion of grain tickets, grain sales, and he was not following the required 45 days of converting the his grain receipts to cash or credit sale contracts. And so we had to, you know, we offered many opportunities for him to make good on that and to be in compliance with the laws, and he couldn't do that. So I think ultimately I felt that you need to watch out for the small business people who are the farmers out there not getting paid as well. So that's what our role is here in terms of licensing these facilities, and the other areas that lent him money will have to deal with how they recover that money on their own terms and through their own legal procedures.
And on the weights and measures, you said you're making lemonade out of lemons. Are you going to make hard lemonade?
That's better than pink.
Yeah. I had to say it. I'm sorry.
We'll let the staff come up with the first initial recommendations. So I expect that what you're suggesting could very well be the case.
All right. With that, anything else for the... All right. Anything else, Dave? Nope. Commissioners? All right. With that, we'll close the regular scheduled meeting, and let's reconvene at 20 till 10.